The Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting will feature meetings of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion Research Board, the American National Cattlewomen Incorporated, and the National Cattlemen's Foundation. Of course, the cattle industry comes together twice a year to discuss current issues as a group and work on programs and initiatives and to set the course that they should take with various projects for the betterment of the beef cattle industry. With that upcoming event in mind, join the Cobb Little Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio at this time as not only U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom of Denver, but also USMEF Chairman Kevin Jones, who's a cattle feeder from Eden, Idaho. Gentlemen, welcome inside the barn. Before we talk about that event next week, tell me a little bit more, Dan, how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected your work at the USMEF.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Like everybody, it's affected us immensely in the fact that it's not business as usual. We have to get creative, innovative, and adapt to the market conditions. But suffice it to say that beef continues to move globally. It has during this whole last 6 months. And keep in mind, while we went into COVID impacts in, let's say in April and May, a lot of Asia was already in it in January and February. So, countries like Taiwan, countries like Korea are starting to come out. They're considerably ahead of the U.S. right now in terms of their rebound. But that being said, we've adjusted. There's obviously less food service action than there was pre-COVID. But on the other side of the coin, the retail business is booming globally. The online delivery platforms are booming globally, and we've done a lot of work to adjust to that environment all over the world.
Now, Kevin, how has the situation that we find ourselves in today impacted you, your family, and your cattle feeding operation up there in Idaho?
Well, we've had numerous impacts that you don't think of along the way, but by and large, we've managed through the situation here on our own operation, and thank goodness no one in our family or our employees' families have caught the COVID disease. So right now we're in pretty good shape, Brian.
My guest once again, USMEF Chairman Kevin Jones and USMEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. Now, I'm sure the COVID-19 pandemic is just one of the many topics that will be discussed at the NCBA's Cattle Industry Summer Meeting. That will be held at the Gaylord Hotel and Convention Center in Aurora, July 27th through the 30th. And I wanted to see if both of you would help give our listeners an idea, maybe a preview of that meeting. What information will the U.S. Meat Export Federation be presenting at that meeting? And are you looking forward to the opportunity to meet with producers that attend? Let's go to Dan, you first.
Well, yeah, most definitely. We are looking forward to the meeting. We will be presenting. We are part of the Export Growth Committee meeting, which is one of the major committees that meets at every event. And so we'll be giving a global update to the committee and really bring them up to speed on where things stand globally. It's, as you can imagine, a very mixed bag. We're selling, U.S. beef to 60-some countries on a regular basis, and every one of them is a little different in terms of where they're at with the COVID situation. But as I said earlier, I think that the movement and demand for U.S. beef has been, in my opinion, surprisingly resilient given everything that's going on. So we're quite happy with where we're at today.
Kevin, anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I'm very excited to be going and meeting with producers. Since this pandemic's broke out, we've had lots of Zoom meetings and conference calls and not a lot of face-to-face contacts. So it'll be good to see friends and people involved in the industry again. So that's a good thing. And I think Dan's being pretty modest in terms of how things have impacted USMEF directly. And we've had to make lots of changes in programs and change focuses more from retail to food service. When you're talking about an organization that has worldwide coverage, that's no small feat. But I think the staff at USMEF has done a phenomenal job about changing programs as the conditions changed and really still being effective. And I think the export markets in general are showing that.
U.S. beef exports took a big step backwards in May due to projection challenges. Is the slaughter and production recovering, and do you expect exports to rebound? Who wants to take that question?
Well, we start with Kevin.
Yeah, Brian, I, you know, that we had definitely had some production challenges, some harvesting slaughter challenges there. And I think everybody in the industry is aware of that, and the general public as well, because it was a headliner news for quite a while. And of course that impacted the price and impacted, you know, price sensitive exports. So we're seeing I think we'll see a pretty big uptick. Maybe June won't be as strong, maybe, but I think once we get into July and then into the later part of this year, we should see a real strong resurgence in exports.
Dan, anything you wanted to add?
No, I agree. I think we're in a bit of a down cycle here for May and June, more than likely. You know, probably more so because of you know, the impacts of the supply disruptions back in May, but also, you know, one of our largest destinations for U.S. beef, Latin America, Mexico, Central and South America, they are behind the U.S. in the COVID impact. They went into lockdown almost a month later than we did in the U.S. So, you know, they probably are not going to come out of that until later in the summer. So I think being one of our biggest destinations for beef, that's a bit of a concern, but I totally agree with Kevin. The last 6 months of this year, I still think we're well positioned to have a very, very good year with growth by the end of 2020.
And it's nice to see the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement fully implemented now. Did that impact the beef industry much? I know it helped a lot of other industries.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, NAFTA, big fan of the new NAFTA 2.0 or USMCA. You know, it didn't change. We're duty-free status between the three countries, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. But the second largest region for U.S. beef exports is Canada and Mexico. And by having this agreement in place, we've solidified the stability that we needed to supply at a zero-duty basis. And it took a lot of question marks and a lot of uncertainty out of the equation, which is a good thing for beef producers.
How about you, Kevin? Anything you wanted to add to that USMCA being fully implemented?
I think Dan pretty well covered it. You know, adding that certainty back in the marketplace, I mean, I think that did have an impact, especially going into Mexico, is just a lack of certainty and being viewed as maybe a little bit of an unreliable supplier. And we certainly don't want that image with our neighbors next door.
U.S. Meat Export Federation Chairman Kevin Jones and U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom are my guests. Are U.S. beef and pork exports benefiting from the new U.S.-Japan trade agreement?
I'll take the first shot on this one, Brian. Yeah, the answer is not only yes, but a resounding yes. In my opinion, the Japan-U.S. Ag agreement is the biggest thing maybe ever, but definitely since BSE in 2003 for U.S. beef and pork producers. To answer your question, we are seeing gains already where we're regaining share, taking share back from Australia on the beef side and primarily from Europe on the pork side. Year to date through May, beef's up 5%, pork is up 7%, but that's with the down in May due to the supply disruptions. In April, we were up 15%. So, you know, this is an agreement that got us on a level playing field. Keep in mind on beef, especially, we were at a 13% duty disadvantage in 2019. So January 1, level playing field. We're well positioned, and this is an agreement that's going to help beef producers for years to come.
Exports seem to be opening up, Kevin, which is a good thing. And just think what they'd have been if coronavirus wouldn't have been in the equation.
Right. Yeah, I think we'd have been looking at a very strong year overall if we hadn't had the coronavirus impact worldwide. Obviously, things would be a lot different than what we're looking at today. But even in spite of that, I'm really encouraged with how exports are holding up, and export markets really look good. And I think from here on out in the future, I mean, we just have a rising middle class worldwide, and they're going to demand high quality beef products.
Of course, the elephant in the room is the agreement with China, that phase one trade agreement. They finally granted more meaningful access for U.S. beef in that agreement. Do you expect beef exports to China to continue to grow, or could there be a snag with they're still down on their purchases according to that agreement in this first year?
Yeah, so, you know, there again, the COVID impact, I don't know how that's all going to play out. And also things are obviously a little bit tense between China and the U.S. in terms of relationships right now. But again, in spite of that, I mean, we've had, you know, it was the agreement was implemented in March, and we are seeing export growth there for beef and beef products. So I'm encouraged, and I think we'll continue to see that unless there is some sort of other roadblock that we don't foresee at the moment.
Dan, anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I think on the beef side, we had our largest month since December of last year in May, of almost 1,500 metric tons, which is a spit in the ocean to what the potential is. And, you know, the increased access that was obtained through the agreement, once again, a great job by USTR and USDA in putting that together. You know, no age restrictions, you know, no product restrictions, you know, the no traceability restrictions is another key point. There's a lot of positives there. So I think long term, this is another area that has a lot of potential to grow. And then on the pork side, you know, we've been growing. I mean, we've been averaging between 90,000 and 100,000 metric tons a month. And it's one of the few categories where they're ahead of the plan in terms of that phase one trade agreement. There's a lot of other commodities that are behind the eight ball and behind what they anticipated. But if you look at pork specifically, they've taken more than what we were hoping they would. So we just hope that continues.
Are there any other bright spots for U.S. beef this year or pork? I know you touched on a few of those earlier too.
Yeah, I think, you know, worldwide, we're seeing lots of areas. You know, Latin America, South America continue to be places where we're seeing good growth. And of course, Taiwan, South Korea is another place that's just been really good for us in terms of export growth. And then we're starting to see some of these smaller places, smaller markets, but potentially longer term could have a real big impact. Things like places like, you know, South Africa and some of the other few countries in Africa where we've got some access. I think worldwide, again, you know, we're seeing a growth in the middle class. And as they grow that middle class section, the demand for beef and protein products, pork, beef, all of those will just continue.
Well, I know folks love to hear about export demand on the rise, and the U.S. Meat Export Federation has done a great job. And I love sharing the press releases and the audio clips that Joe Shealy sends to the barn, and I try to get those out as quick as possible. You guys do excellent work, by the way. I just want to throw that in there. Is there anything else that you guys want to make mention of that might be discussed at next week's summer business meeting for the cattle industry or the USMAF is working on right now that you want folks to know about?
Yeah, there is one thing, Brian. I think, you know, we have our base markets that provide a lot of our growth for both beef and pork. You know, markets like Japan, Korea, China, we just talked about in the case of pork, Mexico, et cetera. But we've made a conscious effort as both a beef industry and a pork industry that we need to make an effort to develop, as Kevin alluded to, develop these smaller markets or what we might call emerging markets. You know, markets like a Peru, like a Colombia, markets like a Singapore, except Vietnam is another one. So I think the conscious effort to diversify our destinations for U.S. beef and pork, to the extent we can make that work, it just makes us stronger overall. And I'm not taking anything away from the big markets. They're very important and they'll continue to be important. But the more we can find new places to go with new products, different products, the better it is to maximize that carcass value.
Kevin, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think along that lines, it's important to remember too, is that a lot of these smaller niche markets will take products that, you know, we don't use here in the United States, you know, all the offals, all of that's exported. So we're really adding value to the producers, to the bottom line. You know, we're over $300 a head, $325, $26 a head added value. And a lot of that comes from that, those offal products and just underutilized, undervalued cuts and stuff that we can export and add value to them. So I think that's important for the producers to remember.
quick comment. Kevin just stirred my memory, but we did $8.1 billion in global exports last year. A little over a billion of it was the beef offals. So, it gives you an idea just how important it is.
I want to thank my guests once again, U.S. Meat Export Federation Chairman Kevin Jones and U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. Thank you guys for your time, your expertise. And I apologize, we had trouble on the Zoom conference call getting connected. What, this might be the fourth time, right?
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Want to help any way we can. The mission of the U.S. Meat Export Federation is to increase the value and profitability of the U.S. beef, pork, and lamb industries by enhancing demand for their products in export markets through a dynamic partnership of all stakeholders. Simply put, the USMEF is putting U.S. meat on the world's table. You can learn more online at usmef.org.